This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. Let's take a moment to talk about tax incentives to lure business. Wisconsin recently offered up to $3 billion in tax incentives to Foxconn of Taiwan. In Detroit, there have been hundreds of millions of dollars in incentives for the new arena for the Red Wings and Pistons, for developments by Dan Gilbert, huge tax credit for the auto manufacturers. And now states and cities are trying to put together incentives to get Amazon's new massive headquarters number two. The question always boils down to, will citizens actually benefit from their tax dollars being spent or forfeited to attract or retain business? Joining us now are our Friday political commentators, Vicki Barnett, former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator, and Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants and the former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. He joins us by Skype. Vicki, we're told that to be competitive, governments have to offer these incentives. But should there be limits?
This has always been a debate. You know, how much of tax dollars should go to private companies to lure development? And how does that impact our budgets going forward, whether it's the state budget, county budget, or local community budgets? The real other problem that we don't talk about is the impact of all of these tax incentives on the school aid fund, which impacts every child across the state of Michigan. So it's always been a balancing act to whether we can capture enough money through the growth by having these companies here versus the offset of actually providing the incentives. We did away with all incentives when Governor Snyder first took office in 2011 and tried to revamp the tax code, and it became clear over the ensuing few years that companies want hard dollar cash incentives. I'm not a real big fan of them, but the reality is that if you're going to be in a competitive market against 50 other states plus a global economy, you're going to have to provide something. And the goal is always to provide some incentives, but have the tax net be positive for the state of Michigan or for the local community.
Ken, policy analysts from the right and the left have been critical of Michigan and local governments for what they call corporate welfare. Generally, Republicans say they don't like picking winners and losers. Let the free market decide. But in practice, these incentives are doled out pretty liberally. How do policymakers or legislators make these decisions?
Well, Vicki said it. There's just kind of a fundamental reality going on here. Yeah, in the economy among all the states, they all have these packages. They all want these really big enterprises, whether it's Amazon, Foxconn, or Switch in Grand Rapids, which is a data processing center. And in Michigan and the other states can't unilaterally disarm. There's just a fundamental reality that drives these tax incentives. Now, there's kind of a small band of true believers, primarily among Republicans, that believe these packages are inappropriate for government because they violate principles of a competitive free market economy in which government basically has no role other than just keep hands off. But that's just, like I said, kind of a small band of true believers. And the fundamental reality is every state has to have these in order to attract these big job producers of thousands of jobs.
Let me ask both of you, when I started in this business back in the 80s, they were just beginning to start this and this incentives type packages at the municipal level, and it seems like it's escalated ever since. Am I right in that?
Yes, you are. The original tax abatement law, they were called 198 tax abatements in reference to the number of the law. And they were originally designed to provide tax incentives to businesses who moved back into areas where there was already infrastructure in the ground to redevelop property instead of expanding into exurban and massively suburban areas to build in what we call greenfields, where there's nothing there yet. And it was designed to kind of do both a cleanup of old property and to provide incentives for businesses to go where we already had high unemployment. That ended up being perverted over the years to have municipalities and others, counties as well, offer tax abatements in further and further ex-urban areas, because that's the way that we created the tax structure for revenue sharing. And in order to get more money into your community, and in order for your municipal budget to grow, you had to have new development, and that was part of the caps on Proposal A and a few other things. So it's created this kind of Frankenstein's monster of an incentive package that is now almost required by governments in order to lure these businesses into your state.
Ken?
Well, yes, Lester, they have escalated, because every time Michigan or some other state comes up with an attractive package, some other state comes up with a more attractive package. And so they have escalated over time. Now, I do think, given the fact that there's a fundamental reality working here, you have to have them. It is helpful for policymakers to truly look at what the economic impact is and is it worth it. And then secondly, there has to be some accountability for these companies. If they claim and promise a certain number of jobs, they have to be held to that. And there's kind of a third big question about, well, when you locate these big enterprises, does it hurt or drive out some smaller local companies that have been there for some time that do the same thing? That's a fair question to ask, too. So there are some questions that have to be answered, but the reality is you're just going to have these packages.
Just real quick, is there a way that we can ever cap these or guarantee that taxpayers get the benefit back in a real and concrete way?
Well, I think you've got to look at the true economic impact, and economists will look at what is called the multiplier effect. You know, how many times money spent, in this case probably wages, circulates throughout the local economy. And it's got to be positive. If it's not positive, then why do it? But there are these questions of accountability and the impact on smaller companies that have been there for some time. But yeah, you've got to look at the economic impact and do a true analysis, and it has to be a net positive, as Vicki said early on.
Something that I'd like to see as part of these is the inclusion of what is called a community benefits agreement. And that's something that some former legislators and city council members in Detroit and in other areas have been talking about for a long time. If you're going to offer up community tax dollars to lure a business, what should that business bring back to the community in exchange for those dollars aside for jobs? And I think that's an important discussion to have as well.
That's Vicki Barnett, a former Democratic legislator, and Ken Sikkema, a former Republican legislator. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Lester.
Thank you.
If you miss any part of today's show, and I can't imagine how you'd be pulled away from it, but if you do miss it, you can find it on our podcast. Just go to michiganradio.org and click on podcasts to find a link.